This is Will's Band of the Week for September 13th, 2015. Another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Ontario correspondent Anurag.
Hello.
And there's an echo, so it kind of sounds like I'm outside in a big crowd speaking to at a political rally or something. It's a Skype thing, so we're just going to...
It's a Skype thing.
Yeah, we're just going to not worry about it, right?
Absolutely.
So, Barrett got called away by a coffee shop emergency, and Chris, well, he's supposed to be here, but available at least, but we were out rocking, and...
So where did you guys go?
Well, here's the thing. We don't really talk about things on this podcast without a proper jingle, right?
Okay. All right.
Yes, that's the live report jingle. And I've got a live report. Chris would have a live report, too, if he could wake up in time. So we were on kind of a tight...
He probably has a hangover or something. He's probably nursing that.
We were out rocking, and because of our tight schedule here, we had to kind of had to arrange to get up early. And so Chris told me last night and said, well, I hope I can wake up in time. And so apparently he hasn't awakened yet. But we'll find out. Maybe he'll get in touch. So Chris and I went to see Thurston Moore and Michael Cronin last night.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good bill.
Interesting. So how was it?
I thought they were both very good. Chris said that, you know, he was really there to see Michael Cronin, and he's not really a big Sonic Youth or Thurston Moore fan. But he stayed for it, and you know, I think he kind of liked it, but he'd have to tell us.
Wow. Okay. Cool. I've seen Thurston Moore. Like I saw the Sonic Youth play. What was it? 3 or 4 years ago.
So you did? You saw Sonic Youth?
Yeah, I saw Sonic Youth. I think they did come to Canada after that too. But this was when they were supporting their Raptitude. I think that's when they came by.
I never saw Sonic Youth. They they might have played in Madison like once or something, or maybe in their early days. I mean, Thurston Moore talks about being in Madison back in the old days when there were fanzines in like 1988, and you know, we thought they were cool,
so that was,
and stuff.
That was way before my time.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So. Well, let's talk about Michael Cronin first. So he's got a very good band, and when you see him play live, you figure out how does he make that sort of fuzzed sound. Well, he plays a 12-string guitar,
and
through the whole set, he played a 12-string guitar. And then his other guitar player, who's very good, and he's also a very good backing vocalist. Chris and I were talking about this. We couldn't really tell. Chris said he noticed there were 8 tuners on the guitar. It's a Rickenbacker, and so I don't know if it's a 12-string with like weird tuners or something or what, but you can see how the sound is put together, and they sounded very good, and I thought it was good.
Wow. Oh, so next time he comes by, I'm going to make an attempt to see him.
You know, and coming out of the summer festival season, I didn't really go to too many festival shows. I think I only went to the one in May this year. But, you know, you read about these things, and you've got these huge crowds, and then for some reason I associate Michael Cronin. He seems like he would be a good act for one of these big festivals. But then you go to a small club, and you're like standing right next to him. It's such a strange contrast.
Yeah. I haven't been to festivals, so...
Yeah, you're probably smart to not go to festivals.
I'm too old.
Yeah, you got to concede that at some point. So, and now getting to Thurston Moore. I had seen Thurston Moore, I think, about 3 years ago with Grant, and it was maybe it was 4 years ago. It was a while ago, and it was an acoustic tour. So
acoustic.
It was a very different vibe. this was rocking.
Yeah.
And really, I think, good. And I was commenting to Chris. He started with two songs that were each like 10 minutes long. There's one called Forevermore. Nicholas would have been totally into this. Oh, and I mentioned to Nicholas.
Uh-huh.
He had a music stand. Thurston Moore had a music stand.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess he's kind of getting a little bit old, too. But it didn't obscure him completely like the problem Nicholas had with Jay Maskus. The music stand wasn't, I would say it was okay because it didn't interfere with the visuals.
But so what material did he play?
Well, he didn't play any Sonic Youth. He played all like the best of his solo stuff. And he's got a guitar player that I think it's this guy that he met in London or something, and he's they both play Fender Jazz Masters, and they have a similar sound. And it's kind of a wall of Jazz Master. That's what I was thinking to myself.
A wall of Jazz Master.
And then he's got Debbie Googe, who was the bass player for My Bloody Valentine, and Steve Shelley, the drummer from Sonic Youth. So it's a pretty rockin' band. And yeah, very good. I liked it a lot.
I've seen Debbie play too, twice, actually. I went to two My Bloody Valentine concerts here in Toronto, and really good, yeah.
Wow, your cred is going really well on this podcast. You've seen Sonic Youth and My Bloody Valentine? That's
Yes, but I haven't seen one of the bands that we're discussing that I'm dying to see.
We're going to get to that, right?
Yep, we're going to get to that.
Okay, so before we started recording, I was asking you whether we should get your daughter on the podcast now. We've got like thing going, and you weren't sure. So what were you saying?
I was saying that first I am trying to change my daughter's music tastes. Right now, they're deeply embedded in the popular music.
Yeah.
So, like, remember we thought about doing this, that she had never listened to some of the Beatles songs. Like, she's listened to the popular ones, not those kind of obscure ones. Like, for example, she's never listened to A Day in Life.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have occasion to hear it, right?
Yes, and so I suggested to her, you know, let's do that. Let me play it for you. And she just wrinkled her nose and said, nope, thank you.
Not interested.
So right now, no. We're not going to get her onto the podcast. Yep.
Well, there's still time.
I haven't been able to indoctrinate her like you guys have with your kids.
Don't you ever put just like cutting edge music on in the kitchen or something? So it'll just like try to, you know, infiltrate her mind, or like in the car?
I do that, and the comment I get is, can you please lower the volume?
Yeah. I got a lot of dad, you know, take off this terrible music. But, you know, the rockin' stuff, they've always had a good tolerance for. But I remember listening to somebody like Jens Lehmann. Remember Jens Lehmann? He haven't heard much from him lately. But anybody who's sort of a folky singer type person, or like, you know, the tallest man on earth, right? You know, my family will say, my whole family will say, just get this out of here, you know. Turn this off. But they've been, you know, I played Guided by Voices in the car for Grant since he was like three, you know. So, but it's hard to do, isn't it? And especially
it is.
Now she's probably got pretty strong opinions herself. And, you know, the older she gets, the more uncool it will be to listen to something that her dad listens to, right?
That's what I'm afraid of, yep.
Yeah. But maybe maybe she'll come back around, you know, when she gets, like, to college age and she'll like some cool stuff.
That's my theory, too, because when I started listening to, you know, music, I remember in India we had zero access to anything other than popular music, so I didn't get on the bandwagon of indie music until when I was, I think, 25, 26. So I'm hoping my daughter will turn too. Until then, it's Demi Lovato and, oh man, there's so many now, right? And they all sound similar. That's the worst. Like, I listen to a song, I say, oh, okay, so this is such and such person, and my daughter has to correct me. No, it's not. It's somebody else.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a quiz for you then, because I sent Barrett and Chris a message earlier this week. and I told them that I'm a totally out of touch old person. There were two examples. One was there's a person playing at the basketball arena here in Madison, okay, in like a month or two. And okay, so the basketball arena has a capacity of like 17,000 people. So this person's popular, right?
Okay.
His name is Kevin Hart. You ever heard of him?
I've heard the name. Is he a musician or a comedian? Kind of confusing.
You know, I don't even know. That's really funny. Because they called him Superstar Entertainer Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Okay, so whether he's a musician or a comedian. Okay, maybe he's a comedian. I'm out of touch. Okay, here's the other one. They had one of those Apple press conferences earlier this week. Uh-huh. And at the end of the press conference, I was just reading like the blog where they were talking about it and said, this incredible band now is coming on and they've had like 5 Billboard hits on their last album and they're called One Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of them.
One Republic.
Are they related to One Direction?
Okay, now you're confusing me.
Are they a spin-off from One Direction? No, it's One Republic.
That's what I thought. One Direction. Okay. No, then I'm not familiar with One Republic.
But they're big enough to play at the Apple press conference.
Yeah. They must be. I mean, I just Googled them. I can see them everywhere. But no, I'm not familiar with these guys at all. Yeah. I also thought you were talking about One Direction.
Yeah.
And I think One Direction is, they're breaking up, right? My daughter was talking with some guy who's left. So anyway,
it seems like that was kind of a passing fad, right?
That's what happens. Yeah.
Like you don't think of One Direction, even maybe I just think of all teeny bopper bands this way. That you figure they're gonna have a 1 or 2 year shelf life, and then maybe if there's one main singer or one like especially good looking guy, then he'll have a career afterwards, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's what I keep telling my daughter too. That. All these bands, yeah, they have good songs, like 1 or 2 good songs. But after 6 months, you're not going to be able to remember them because the next one that comes along is just the same.
Yeah.
So
does your daughter listen to albums or does she just listen to singles?
No, songs.
Yeah, that's the kids these days.
I've tried to encourage it, but nope, it's always songs. It's weird, isn't it? Like,
and I bet that's a general thing, too, just because of the formats of how people listen to music. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, things just aren't like they used to be.
Yeah. I know.
Yep.
Things are changing.
Yep. So, well, we might get Chris and Barrett on later, and then we'll just chop up the podcast. It'll be like Will interviews people about music this week.
Cool.
So, we should, you know, why don't we just start with your pick? And you've got somebody from Canada, and tell us about it.
Well, this is a band called Teen Days, and I say a band, but it's actually just one person. So far, he had been releasing those... What is it called? Ambient music? Chill music?
Oh,
chill
just
wave.
Like instrumental stuff?
Yeah, not instrumental. He would sing on it too, but it was all very soothing and, you know, something you would put in the background while you're working or in the kitchen. And I think for this album, he tried something a little different. All his albums up till now, I think he's been recording in his bedroom. This one he did in a proper studio. It's called... Morning World, and it is really good. Highly recommended.
Let's start with a track. What do you got?
How about the title track, Morning World?
Shit. Teen Days. That's the title
Teen
track.
Days.
Morning World.
Yep. So I think you could, from the music, you'd make out he's still into that chill wave mode, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's got a little bit of a beat, but it's got this relaxing element too. It's yeah. I don't mean this as a negative, but it was pretty good to put on in my office, and
yep.
You know, it kind of works on both levels. I think as background or as just it's a good sort of indie pop album.
Yeah, I mean up till this point, he's been using drum machines, but I think on a few songs here he has used like proper guitars and drums, live drums. So yeah, overall I really like this album. Soothing.
It's good when people graduate from drum machine to real drummer.
Yes.
So let me mention it again for about the fifth time that Beach House needs a real drummer.
Yeah.
Come on, people. All right. You know what? I can make a pick. I could probably make a couple picks. I think I was going to pick the title track also. But you know what's a cool song is the one called Post Storm. It has a really long intro thing. So why don't we try going backwards and we'll like fade it in.
Cool.
Well, you get a good idea there of the dynamic range, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it a lot. Teen Days.
Teen Days.
Album is called Morning World. Let's play another track. Do you have one?
How about number two, Pink?
We'll be right back.
15 days.
I really like that one.
Yeah, solid. Does he have a live band put together then? I assume he does.
I assume so. I mean, I honestly didn't check up.
I think it's cool when, you know, you got these bedroom pop guys. They can make some pretty incredible recordings just like sitting in their apartment or whatever. And then I think it's really cool when they, after they've done all that, they put together a band and it sort of just reinvents the whole thing and, you know, and it has different dynamics live and everything. I think it's really cool. So hopefully Teen Days is going to do that.
I'm going to catch him if he comes around this area.
In the Kitchener club scene?
The Kitchener club scene.
So what's the closest, I've asked you this before, but what's the closest place that you could go to see live music that would regularly get anybody decent?
Well, they do have quite a few in Kitchener, but it's, I mean, like I said, I'm used to, you know, just picking and choosing from the ones playing in Toronto.
Yeah, and you're a couple hours away, right?
Yeah, and now we just have to, I just keep looking at the listing and saying, nope.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Kind of sad. Except when it's Taylor Swift, then you're not going to miss that.
Then we make a special trip to Toronto.
Is that like
stay at the, overnight?
Is that at the Air Canada Centre?
Yes, the big one. Yep.
That's the, now wait a minute. Is that the basketball arena or is that the baseball stadium?
It's a hockey.
Oh, hockey. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
that's, but they have basketball there too, right?
Yep. It's in the same stadium.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I went there.
Oh, you did one of those tours?
No, I just went and watched a hockey game with my son when we were up there last, you know, in the winter.
Yeah. Then you probably remember that it doesn't really seat too many people. So that's why Taylor Swift is probably doing two shows back to back.
It's small because it's only like 20,000 people, right?
Maybe even less than that, I think. I'm not sure now.
Yeah, it's roughly that size.
Yeah, so
it still qualifies as Arena Rock.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that'll be fun, though.
Yeah, the good thing about it is because I think you've seen it, like all the seats kind of converge in towards the center. So if there's a concert, you get a good view.
Oh, so they have a pretty decent setup for a big arena, huh?
Yeah. So we're doing that in early October. So what because we're going with my neighbor and they have a daughter too. So my wife and my neighbor's wife and the daughters will be attending the concert while me and the neighbor will be attending a whiskey tour.
Oh, really? So you're not going to the concert?
No.
Oh, you're doing a whiskey tour instead?
Yes, we chose to do a whiskey tour.
I think
steaks and a whiskey tour.
Oh my goodness, that would be hard to turn down. I think I'd probably take the steaks and whiskey over Taylor Swift myself.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, everybody gets what they want. Then
exactly.
It's the best of all worlds. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
all right.
We're doing in October.
So, did you get a chance to listen to this Yola Tengo album?
Yes, I did.
So Yola Tengo, they're indie rock veterans. I think they might be tied with Wilco for most appearances on the podcast. But every time they put something out, it seems like it's podcast worthy. And so I would pose this to Barrett and Chris if they were here. But where do you put Yola Tengo in there with, let's see. Yola Tengo versus Wilco, who wins?
I'm going to say Yola Tengo.
I'm currently on a Yola Tengo, a pro Yola Tengo attitude.
Okay.
Where I would vote for them over Wilco, but it's similar, right? When you
it
think
is.
About like how long they've been around and how they have staying power, which is cool.
And each album that they release is always good. That's the case with both the bands.
There's a consistency, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
And so this Yola Tengo album is very interesting because it's mostly covers. It's kind of quiet acoustic-y sounding. You know, we've talked about the two Yola Tengos, the quiet Yola Tengo and the loud Yola Tengo. The quiet Yola Tengo is what caused my wife to fall asleep and then leave halfway through the live show. And then she missed the whole rockin' part. And I said, man, it was great, you know. But this album is all the quiet stuff. And it's about probably a little more than half covers, and covers of other people's stuff, and then they have covers of their own songs that they just decided to re-record, and then a couple of new songs. So it's a hodgepodge, and I think it's all pretty cohesive, except with one exception that sounds like an outlier, but it's still kind of good. So let's start with
which
that one, the Cure song.
Oh, okay.
Friday, I'm in Love. Yola Tango, the album is called Stuff Like That There.
It's very similar to their previous one, Fake Book.
Right, Fake Book was all covers, right? Or similar to this, maybe. But that was a long time ago, right?
I think they re-released it recently. They just kind of covered their own songs. So, yeah, I listened to it a little bit, and yeah, it was the same. But
so
I was just reading up. They said that this album is kind of the sequel to Fake Book, so...
Very cool. I think it's successful.
Yes. The thing I really like about Yola Tango is their ability to, you know, do a very melodic, a very jazzy song, and then suddenly the next one would just be a rocking, feedback-infused song, and then they go back to that same melodic song again. I've really liked about that thing about them.
Yeah, they definitely have the ability to do both the quiet and the loud.
Yeah.
So,
and I never knew. I found out today that the drummer, Georgia, I think, and the lead, Ira, they're married. I never knew that.
Yeah. Hopefully they won't.
Today.
Hopefully they won't have the same fate as Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hope not.
Long time married couple.
That's really cool. Yep. So the album is really good. Yeah, it's one of the few albums that my wife and daughter allow me to play in the kitchen.
Oh, that's good. That's encouraging. Yeah. So do you have a pick you'd like to make from this album?
I really like the second last song, "Deeper Into Movies." Thank you.
Yola Tango, Deeper Into Movies, that's a remake of one of their own songs.
Yes, it's really soothing, and I've been listening to it since morning. Basically, the whole album, it's nice, soft, and doesn't put you to sleep, unlike your wife.
right, and it's like a rich recording, right? The reverb is great, and the whole thing just sounds really good. If you go to the Matador Records site, they have a track listing, and then it tells you with each song who the author is, and so I would recommend doing that. So I'm going to play one of the songs that is a cover of another band's song, and they like to cover some obscure stuff. So this is a song by a band called The Special Pillow, and it's called Automatic Doom. You know what's interesting is when you listen to these and you don't know the song previously, it just sounds like a Yola Tango song, right?
Exactly.
So I went back and listened to this one, the original, and it was kind of fascinating. So that's a fun thing you can do.
I know, yeah.
So I'm going to do a bonus track.
You're the boss.
Because there's another cover of their own, one of their own songs. That's not called a cover. I shouldn't call it a cover, right? There's another remake of one of their own songs that
remake,
I think is really good.
Yes, that's a better one.
Yeah. So let's just play a little bit of this. All Your Secrets.
All of the thoughts we thought would stay unsaid have made their way instead. As the days ahead become behind, we place the tape as we rewind. Before the ride, tell me all your secrets. Say it slow and clear so you don't have to speak twice. And if there's things that I'm afraid to know, should have learned them years ago. Before the riot, I don't believe we're hopeless as we fear, or as good as we appear. Before the riot, I can be strong beside your sleeping eyes, unafraid of truth, unafraid of lies. Of what we're missing, and then take that thought and put it out of your head. If we can't stop a restless night. Won't give up without a fight.
How can you not like that?
Exactly. Beautiful.
Yola Tango. There we go. I guess we're agreeing on a thumbs up for this one.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, I think that's what we've got. Well, thanks, Anurag. You need to keep us advised of all musical developments in Ontario and elsewhere in Canada. In fact, you can have the whole country of Canada. Well, maybe we need to give Grant a little bit of that, but, you know.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Your son's got, there.
But you've got a lot of ground to cover, right?
Yes.
So
I have. Yep. So I'll be getting my Taylor Swift report soon.
Yes. Even though, but you'll have to give us a secondhand report because you're not going.
Exactly. I'll give you...
Give us a whiskey tour report.
The whiskey tour report. Okay, I'll do that.
Well, you know, maybe she could come on and give us the review.
Okay, sure.
That'd be pretty cool. So we'll try to have you on again.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep.
Hey, look who I found. It's Chris.
Hey, here I am.
Yeah, you appeared out of nowhere.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yes. I just descended upon the podcast.
Right. We already explained to the listeners how you couldn't wake up in time on Saturday morning after a night of rocking.
Long night, late night of rocking on Friday, yeah. So.
Yeah.
9 a.m. was too early for me.
You're not getting any younger, Chris. I'm not either, of course. So, yeah. So I gave my thoughts. Do you want to make any comments on the live show that we saw?
I thought Michael Cronin was really good, and I haven't followed Thurston more much since during his solo years. Mm-hmm. But I thought the show was enjoyable. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Rocking.
Not really being that familiar with the songs.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I saw that you stuck
and then
around.
As we walked out, one of my buddies had cornered Michael Cronin and was talking to him. And so I shook his hand, said hello, told him how much I liked the show. So it was my brush with fame.
Did you tell him he needs to show a little bit more confidence on stage?
I did not. Did you mention the fact that he plays his 12-string guitar?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that we couldn't tell how many strings the other guitar had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeterminate number of strings.
Right. It's called an indeterminate string guitar. Yeah.
Exactly.
So Michael Cronin was a nice guy. He didn't blow you off like Josh Rouse.
Like Josh Rouse?
Yeah.
He was extremely pleasant. He was a very nice guy.
Good. You know what kind of struck me?
He acted as if I was the first one to ever tell him that his show was great.
Oh, good. Good reaction.
Really nice of him.
Yeah. I had a reaction that I thought he seemed really young, but that's because I'm old. You know, like I saw him standing, you know, 5 minutes before his set started. He was just standing like at the front of the stage off to the side, you know, like 10 feet away from me. And I just thought, mm-hmm. God, that guy looks like he's young. You know, he's in his 20s. That's how you're supposed to look when you're in your 20s. You're supposed to look like you're in your 20s, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't look young or old. He just looks appropriately aged.
Right. So it's really a comment on my own age more than anything. But yeah, good. It was good. It was solid. So we needed to... hey, you had a thing before. You have a band, and you also had a that little musical tidbit thing about the Beatles.
Yeah. So someone sent me this this link about the Beatles that they... Evidently, somebody did a poll of who Beatles fans really are. And they did kind of a political ideology test of, you know, whether Republicans or Democrats, which member of the Beatles is their favorite. And as it turns out, Democrats tend to like John a lot more, whereas Republicans tend to like Paul a lot more. And on top of that, the older you are, the more you tend to favor Paul over John, which I thought was interesting. So... I don't know. I've been kicking around some thoughts as to why that might be.
Could just be a demographic correlation, don't you think?
Yeah. I don't know what there is. I mean, because Paul McCartney certainly is no Republican. So it's just odd that those with that ideology might, you know, might identify with him more. I don't know. Hmm. I don't know why that is.
Did they have anything else like...
Maybe it's just...
Was there some obscure party that preferred George Harrison?
There were some people that preferred George Harrison, but In fact, I tweeted it out, and like some guy was like, "Well, Ringo's the best," and I'm just like, "Oh, come on!" Like, I'm all for going against the grain, but I'm all for contrarian arguments. But let's get serious.
Yeah, well, he could just be your favorite personality out of the four personalities, or something. You know, when you reach that level of celebrity,
yeah, but not in terms of, right?
You know, you could use any criteria you want, right? Yeah, it's not like he's the most talented. Like, nobody could legitimately argue that, probably.
No, history has spoken, and it's either John or Paul. And then, you know, if you liked some of George's solo career, that's fine too.
Yeah. How about if you liked Photograph by Ringo Starr? So it's your favorite song you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't that good.
Nope, so it's just, what?
That wasn't that good, Photograph, that
no.
song. He had a couple more hits, right? There must be a better song than Photograph by Ringo Starr.
Yeah, none of them are coming to mind. I mean, every now and then they'd throw a song, you know, one song per album to him. And he'd do like Octopus's Garden or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, he's a very fortunate man to be in the right band.
He's probably got some songs with Dave Grohl too, right? Did he record with Dave Grohl? Because everyone has recorded songs. Wasn't there a Dave Grohl thing in the news? He did something else that was like, I own rock and roll. It was a thing like that. God, what was that?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't heard that.
Well, people have to look it up. It's another funny Dave Grohl thing. All right. Okay, tell us about your band.
All right. Well, this is actually a few months old, but I've been listening to the album Rose Mountain by the Screaming Females. I guess I shouldn't say the Screaming Females because it's just Screaming Females. And this is a band from New Jersey. And they're about 10 years old, and this is their sixth album. And it is a woman, and her name is Marissa Paternoster. I had to write this down. And they're rocking. And so I'll just go ahead and play a song. Let's start with the last song on the album, which I really like, which is called Criminal Image.
Screaming Females.
Yeah, as the resident like grunge era rocker in the group, I think that kind of takes me back to that era. The little known Seattle band of the early 90s called Hammerbox, which was led by a female lead singer that was kind of rocking like that. So that's kind of what it reminds me of.
It's kind of got some riffs.
And as
too.
I, yeah,
So as I was perusing the Wikipedia page in preparation, and the deep preparation that I do for the podcast, in 2012, Marissa Paternoster was evidently named the 77th greatest guitarist of all time by Spin Magazine.
Of all time. That's
the 77th
funny.
Greatest guitarist of all time.
Oh, man.
Is the guitarist for Screaming Females. So there you go.
Wow.
So when you listen to these songs, you're listening to royalty.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Worldwide royalty. So yeah.
Let's play another song.
All right.
Is that your furnace acting up? Is that your furnace acting up? There was like a sound, like a really badass sound.
Yeah, somebody's dragging a chair around my house.
It sounded like your furnace was rebelling or something.
No, but it's still alive.
All right.
Let's go with song number two, which is Ripe.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's rocking.
Yeah, that was my my summertime Roll Your Windows Down While You're Driving Around album. And it's just, although I don't know how old you have to be before people start thinking that's weird.
Yeah.
Like when I think of my dad at my age, he wasn't jamming out to loud music at all. He was probably listening to a lot of NPR on the way to work.
Yeah, maybe he had his windows down with NPR on really loud. Yeah.
But it just continues my theory that this is the year of women in music.
So yeah, it's going to be fun. It's always fun to get to our top tens at the end of the year. But it's going to be fun to see how many female singers end up on your list and on mine. You'll probably have like eight. And I could see it being half. I don't know. I don't even know. I haven't really, except for that one time that you mentioned it back in June or something, then I started to think about it. And it was quite a few. So
yeah,
that's good.
I know I already probably previewed my list quite a bit there. But
yeah, you gave a little teaser. But, you know, there's what, you know, where are we now? We're in the middle of September. There's probably 2 months of, actually, November, there's not much, right? There's a month and a half of more releases, so there'll be a few more, but it will start to sort of wind down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be a new Bob Dylan Christmas album, something fun late in the year. All right, we got to play another track from Screaming Females.
All right, let's go with, the third to last song, which is called Triumph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned the 90s influence. I sort of think of it as some 70s influence too, right? The riffy nature of it. Was there anything like that at all in the 80s? Or were the 80s just the forgotten, you know, it was the synth revolution or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was certainly plenty of rock in the 80s, but...
I guess there was, like, you know, heavy rock turned into, like, Bon Jovi, though, which was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, R.E.M. was still in the 80s, and they were, yeah. I guess they weren't that type of rock. And speaking of R.E.M., right. Just the other day, when coming out to make a speech on the Iran deal, Donald Trump played "It's the End of the World as We Know It" and "I Feel Fine." And
yeah.
Of course, immediately the members of R.E.M. started tweeting, "Please stop using our music," which right. happens in politics all the time now. It's like whenever a Republican candidate uses some, you know, old band's music, they immediately come out and denounce it. And
right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be nice just for one of these bands to just be magnanimous and just say, "Oh, we're honored that they liked our song enough to use it," instead of, you know, just trying to, you know, make a political point. But
right, right.
If I were one of these bands, I would like pay Donald Trump to use one of my songs so I could then complain about it and get back in the news again, which is essentially what they're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Whatever happened with I know there was a big deal when Rush Limbaugh used the Pretenders song, like, and, you know, basically used it as his theme song for his show. And as far as I know, he still does. I haven't listened to Rush Limbaugh in 10 years or whatever, but I think, you know, I think he just has to pay the statutory license, right, for the copyright. Yeah. And then, you know,
I mean, if it's the music company that owns it, then, I mean, yeah. If you clear it with the music company, then you should be all right, right?
I think so. So then, you know, Chrissy Hynde can say, you know, "I hate it that my music is associated with this guy," but there's nothing she can do about it other than just say that, right?
Right.
Because they have this thing called a statutory license where you can use music as long as you pay the person the royalties or the owner, the copyright owner.
You are the resident legal expert.
Well, I used to know. I used to be a little bit up on copyright law, and I'm not at all anymore. But I'm kind of guessing it hasn't really changed. So, you know, law doesn't change very much. It takes a long time. It changes very, very slowly.
Well, Donald Trump is going to change that law then.
Yeah, he'll change it.
President Trump.
He'll pay somebody to change it because money talks. Yeah. All right, that's good enough. We got plenty of content now for the listeners this week.
Awesome.
So thanks for the mini podcast.
Sure.
All right,
see you later, listeners.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.